God bless everyone. So we're carrying on in the book of Corinthians. Hear that buzzing? Oh, that's a look at that. God bless everyone. Yes, so we're going through the book of Corinthians. Now it's been a few weeks since we was here. And so we're in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 35. Let's just pray. Dear Lord, I do pray, my God, this night. I do ask, my God, that you'd help, my Lord, us to come around your word, my God, and that we'd gain an understanding, my Lord, of your truth and your word. I pray, my God, that you'd help us, my Lord, this night, my Lord, to understand your truth, my Lord. Lord, again, as you talk about the resurrection, my Lord God, of the dead, my Lord, and I thank you, my Lord, for it, my Lord God, and that you was, my Lord, the one that showed the way, my Lord, and that one day when we pass, we're going to be with you, and I thank you for that, Lord. And Lord God, and you teach us in your word, and I do pray, my God, that you give us understanding this night. In Jesus' name I pray.
Where are we at, Charles?
1
Corinthians.
1 Corinthians, chapter 15, verse 35. So again, just by reminder, when you go all the way back up to verse 20, this is Paul. Paul writes to the Corinthian church to deal with the problem that's going on with the Corinthian church. And there are people there that believe that they don't believe the body lives on. They just believed that it was the spirit, that the spirit goes to live somewhere, and then there was no...
Hello.
Everybody hear me? Is that better? Yeah. I won't share too much. So he's dealing with the Corinthian church. Corinthian church got loads of problems, and this is one of them. They didn't believe. They believed in life after death, but they didn't believe that you went there, you had a body there. It was just more of a spiritual awareness that you go and float in the clouds somewhere. That's what this is what Paul is trying to deal with when he talks about them, when he talks to them. In verse 20 it says, "But now Christ is risen from the dead, and he has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep." Now, what do you know about... If we're all in a race and Johnny comes first, I can't say me because I don't think I'd ever win a race, but Johnny comes first, what does that tell you? Is he running by himself? Well, if he comes first and it's only him, he ain't come first, does he? He's just gone for a jog. But if he comes first, what does it tell you? Have you ever come first? Did you come first?
Yeah, I raced myself today.
So if something is the first, it tells you that there's more than one. It tells you that there's going to be a second, a third, a fourth. If it's just you running, can you win every race? If it's just by you, I suppose you could win every race. But when Jesus says, "I've become the first fruit," or Jesus is the first fruit, it means there is more to come. I don't know what number I will be when I'm raised from death to life, when I'm raised into glory. But there'll be a number and I'll be a part of that. If there's a first, there's a second, a third, there could even be a millionth one. Or a billionth one, if you like. So Paul is talking about, and he's teaching again, and he goes back through it. And he seems to be more upset with them by writing this again. He says, "But someone will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Foolish ones. What is sown is made alive unless it dies. And what you sow, you do not sow the body that shall be. but mere grain, perhaps wheat or some other grain, but God gives it a body as it pleases, and as it pleases, and to each seed its own body. Again, he is talking about unless a seed is sown into the ground. Now, a seed to be new, there's no life involved in it. There's no life in it. And when that seed is placed into the ground, it is God that brings life into that, and it springs into life. Now, there are so many different varieties of seed, and if me and you had a load of seeds in our hands, we probably couldn't tell one from another. But a little seed, like what's in an apple, can grow into a big tree. Little cherry pit can grow into a big cherry tree. Don't know many more trees, and I don't know what trees have seeds, but there's plenty of them. There's little sycamores and helicopter trees, I call them. They go everywhere. But when that seed hits the ground, it is sown and becomes something more beautiful. It's more beautiful than the seed that it contains. And he's saying again, you foolish people, what do you know? Unless the seed is like it's dead, and we plant it in the ground, then it is grown. It grows up to be what it should be, what the glorious of what God wants that seed to be, if you like. Verse 39. And flesh is not the same. All flesh is not the same. Flesh, there is one kind of bird of... All flesh is not the same. Flesh, and there is one kind of flesh for man, another flesh for animals, another of fish, and another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and terrestrial bodies. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory in the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. For one star difference from another star in glory. And again, he's just saying there are different kinds. Different kinds. He's saying about that we know about flesh, we can see that there's different animals and they have different kinds. A fish has a different flesh than a bird. A man is different than a beast of a field, or a cow, or a lion. He is saying their bodies are different. He's talking about, in an earthly sense, so we can understand it. He's saying there is difference in the bodies, difference, they are different. He talks about celestial, now he's talking about planets, stars, moons, that's called celestial. Terrestrial is earth, it's what's here, it's here. So they're different bodies. So like when you go and see to the beach, or you go, you see a body of water, and then the beach is one kind, the sea is another. He's saying that each one is has its own glory, each body there has its own glory. The sun is different from the moon is different from the stars. And brothers and sisters, we will all be different. We will all be different. And he's saying what God is intending for us, we'll be different. Now, I'm not too sure whether I believe that I'll be completely different in heaven than Joseph, or completely different. I think we will have a different body, the same as what Christ has, but we will have a body that God intends us, that he intends to glorify us in, or that we're going to be gloried in. So also, verse 42, is the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in corruption, and it shall be raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonour, it will be raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it will be raised in power. It is sown in the natural body, and is raised in a spiritual body. Just think about what he's saying there. Brothers and sisters, this body is corruptible, meaning that it has its own wants, its desires. It wants sin, it looks for sin. It can be corrupted by the very nature of this world. We have all been corrupted by something because we've all fallen to sin. And he is saying that this corrupted body will pass, will go into the ground, but will be raised incorruptible. When I go to be with the Lord, I will not have to worry about sin, because I will not, this body will not know how to sin. That body that I get in heaven one desire to see, one want to see. I'll be sown in corruption, will be raised in incorruption, will be sown in dishonour and raised in glory. Think about that for a second. When it says dishonour, it means shame. It means like I've been dishonourable to the Lord. I've done things that I shouldn't have done. I'll be sown in dishonour, but I will be raised in glory. Think about that. That means God don't hold accountable for every sin. When you repent and you put your life right before the Lord, all that dishonour has been put to death as well. But it will be raised in glory. I don't deserve that. We don't deserve that. But this is what Paul is trying to get across. It is sown in weakness, but raised in power. The weakness is there is a weakness of us. There's a weakness in temptation. There's a weakness in life. There's a weakness in many areas of our life. But it says that we'll be sown in weakness, but we will be raised in power. That we'll have power over our own sinful nature, or over it all. We'll have power. That this is what he's trying to say. That in our weaknesses, that God will show his power. And we'll have a body that is powerful. It is sown in the natural body. It should be raised in a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. Verse 45. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last man came a life-giving spirit. Now, there are two kinds. We are all, at this present point in time, we're all born of Adam. Adam and Eve, man, woman, that's how we are. We're all flesh and blood. We all have our ancestors and whatever family tree that you think you, whatever family tree you think you come from, Adam and Eve, we all come from there. So let's just put that into a nutshell. He says this, the first man, Adam, because of his sin, he brought corruption in the world and his body will die. But the second Adam, who we call Christ, he come with a physical body but never sinned. But when he died and rose, he gave everyone the right to become born again of God's Spirit. And now we're not just us sitting in here who are born again. We're not just flesh and blood, but we're born again of God's Spirit as well. And this is what he says. The last man, Adam, became... the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last man became a life-giving spirit. We have the Spirit of God because of what Jesus did. What Adam lost in the garden, Jesus put back on the cross. That when it said to Adam that you will surely die, yes, that was time, but the Spirit had departed. He was like, he was dead in his spirit. And when Jesus came, he said, flesh gives birth to flesh, but Spirit gives birth to Spirit. And he's saying, for all those that would accept me, they would become born again of God's Spirit. And that means that we are sitting in this place. We're not just physical, but we've been mended on the inside because of what Jesus has done. He's put the Spirit of God that's in us. Any true born-again believer knows that the Spirit of God lives in them. Because you cannot be the same person as you once was. You can't even watch the same programs as you once could. You can't go to the places that you once did. Because you now know that it irks the Spirit of God that's within you. It offends you. Do you know, to be not... When you first become a Christian, God cleans your mouth up. For everybody here, that's a testimony that's what happens, isn't it? You automatically, something happens and you stop swearing and you don't even realise it. But then have you ever watched a programme where there's so much swearing on it and you just think, like, this is my favourite film last month, but now I've become a Christian, I can't even look at it, I don't even want to watch it. Does everybody know what I'm on about? Did that happen to me? Well, what went on there then? It wasn't that you come to a church and we said, don't do that. That was the Spirit of God inside of you saying, that's wrong, don't do that no more. And that is the Spirit of God that is alive inside of us. Adam lost it, Christ put it back. Verse 46. However, the spiritual is not the first, but the natural. And afterwards, the spiritual. The first man was of the earth, made of dust. The second man is the Lord from heaven, but was the man of dust, verse 48, as was the man of dust, so also are those who are made of dust, and as it is the heavenly man, so are those who are heavenly. And as we have bore the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man. Brothers and sisters, we all bear our features. We all have two eyes, a nose, a mouth, with ears. I think Adam had exactly the same features as what you could tell he was a human being. You can tell that I'm a human being. I hope that we know that we have the same ancestors, which was Adam and Eve. But as we look like our parents or our great-great, however far back to Adam and Eve, as we bear and look like them, he's saying we should also bear the image of the heavenly man. We shouldn't just be physical, but we should bear the image of the heavenly as well. I need to live on earth like my citizenship, my home is heaven. I should walk about on earth, and everybody should see that he don't belong to this world. He belongs to a different place. He is heavenly. That we bear the image of Adam because of what we look like and how we act, or the image of a man or a woman. Whatever image that looks like, you know that it comes from Adam and Eve. But what he is saying here, that just because you bear the image of a man or a woman on earth, you should also bear the image of a heavenly man. One day we will be like Christ. We don't have to wait until a new body. We can be like Christ now. We should be like Christ. But one day our body will be like that of Christ. When he appeared in that room with the disciples, he just appeared through the wall. So Jesus could walk through a wall and was still physical at the same time. He could eat, and he told them, look, I'm not just spirit, because I have flesh and I have bone. You read Luke's account, last chapter of Luke, you read that in. He was telling them, I have flesh, I have bone. He said, they thought that he was a spirit, so he went, have you got something for me to eat? I don't think Jesus needed food. I think he was showing them that he could physically eat, because it said they gave him boiled fish and he ate it. So he could walk through walls. He then went up into heaven. He said that, so whether he could fly up to heaven, and that's how his body went, he could fly. But he had a different body than what he had when he was walking on the earth. Because he was the first fruits. He died, and he was the first to die and raised from death to life. And what Jesus' body is, it says we too shall be like him. We too are going to get a heavenly body. A heavenly body. Hopefully, I will have a full head of hair. Because me losing my hair, Johnny, me and you losing our hair. I think that's important.
I can grow one. Patches.
Turkey. But because of this, bald head, that's a sign of decay. Sign of old. Getting old, decaying. When I get an heavenly body, there won't be no decay, there won't be no incorruption. My heavenly body will be perfect. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. My heavenly body will be perfect. It will be like Christ. We will have a body like Christ. Think about this for a second. We couldn't enjoy heaven in the fullness in the body that we've got. Not only is God preparing heaven, not only God is preparing, he's also going to prepare our body to accept every goodness that's there as well.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Imagine what it would be like with no aches, no pains. No aches, no pains. Just waking up. God, I don't even know if you're asleep. I don't even read anywhere in the Bible that we need sleep. But I don't know if you need sleep. So we're awake all the time, no sleep. But our body is going to be made to fit into heaven. Like this body is made for this earth, we're going to have a body that is made for there. It's going to be changed. Now, I get these questions. Will we recognise one another? I'll get these questions. Will we recognise it? I think we will. I think that we will recognise one another in everyone. We see all those that are departed, like the rich man and Lazarus. When the rich man and Lazarus, the rich man, he could see Lazarus and he called for him, send Lazarus to dip his fingers. So he wasn't there in a physical form. He hadn't yet received the heavenly body, but he was there in spirit. And he recognised him. When you see the witch of Endor, and you see them calling up Samuel. They called up Samuel. He could recognise him as Samuel. Not in a physical body, but in a spiritual sense, they recognise him. And when they see Jesus, they recognise Jesus. Jesus had the scars on his hands. I'm not saying that we'll have any imperfections. I think that is done for a reason. Because John would say he saw the lamb that was slain. He would see the scars. When we get into heaven, I don't think that we would have that. I think we'll be made perfect. So we will be able to recognise one another. We will know one another. Not just because I'm fat and bald you recognise me. Hopefully you would recognise me because... I don't know how you're going to recognise one another, but I know that we will. Yeah, full head of hair, I don't know. Oh, so I'm coming here with a wig next week, and I don't think anybody would recognise me. I have people ask me questions like, will I recognise my husband or my wife when I get to heaven? Yes, you will recognise them, of course you will. You will recognise that you had time on earth together. I don't think when we get to heaven that our knowledge is taken away. I don't think that because God saved me to be me. And when I go to heaven, he isn't going to wipe my memory completely clean. He still wants me to know him and love him for who I am and what I can serve him now. But I will be able to recognise my wife when I get to heaven. But it doesn't mean to say that we'll be husband and wife in heaven. It wouldn't mean to say that I would love I would recognise my children in heaven. But it doesn't mean to say that I would love my children more than anybody else in heaven. Whoever's there, it's going to be perfect. We ain't going to have no favourites there. That's how it's going to be. Verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. So the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible. And we shall be changed, for this incorruptible must put on incorruption. This corruptible must put on incorruption. Can't say it. Incorruption. And this mortal must put on immortality. So when this incorruptible has put on, when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable always, abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labour is not in vain in the Lord. Brothers and sisters, I tell you this. This is the verse that we use. When somebody passes who's given their life to the Lord, it is not the end. It is not the end. If it is the end, then what are we doing here? The best part of us being Christians is that when we breathe our last, we go on to be with the Lord. That's what the Bible says. That's what Jesus Christ came for. That's what he accomplished. We go on to be with the Lord. That's why we can hurt, we can ache, we can miss. But we can't. We know where they're gone. They are never lost. Our families that have gone who know the Lord, they're never lost, because this is what the Bible says. We serve the Lord because death has no hold over us, because our sin has been forgiven. Because he says here that
that the law was there, that sin was there, but Christ has come with his grace and he's deleted that, he's took it away. And then when we accept the Lord as our Saviour, our destination isn't hell, our destination is glory. Our destination is heaven. And for all of us that are living a life, and I know what time this is, we're not, I know the church, what the church is going through, or what's been going on. But brothers and sisters, we need to hold on. Hold on for all those that have just said a simple prayer and accepted the Lord as their Saviour. But one day, that we will see them in glory.
Amen.
This world is not the end. This world isn't, we just live on this earth, live on earth for 80 years, we die, and that's it. What would be the point? Let's cut up rough, let's do what we want, let's live, let's not hold back on anything, let's just have what we want. But because we believe, because we know that Jesus was real, because we know that he know, in my heart I know that Jesus was a real man that really did come to this earth. That 2,000 years ago he was nailed to a cross at Calvary, he was buried and placed into a tomb, and 3 days later he rose from death to life.
Hallelujah.
And he paid the price for us all, and that is why he is called the first fruits. That's why Jesus Christ rose from death to life. And because he rose from death to life, he said all those that call upon the name of the Lord, they shall be saved.
Amen.
We too will die, but we too will be raised from death to life.
Amen.
We will go to glory. How good's that? Because Jesus conquered death, you conquer it too. Because Jesus conquered death, all my family that have passed away, that have accepted the Lord as their Saviour, they're in glory. And brothers and sisters, we will be too. He talked here about those that are alive at their appearance, that if you like, those that are alive when Jesus returns. And he is saying that in a twinkling of an eye, in a moment, when that trumpet sounds, well, if we're today, the rapture happens and the Lord calls us home, twinkle of an eye, off we go. Our body will be changed. But for the dead in Christ, they will rise first. We get caught up in the clouds with them. And that is the hope of all those that believe in the name of the Lord. That is why every one of the disciples could die a gruesome, awful death, except for John. But the rest of them, they was crucified themselves, pulled apart by horses, stabbed, they was thrown off high buildings, they had rocks thrown at them, they were stoned, they all faced that death. Why did they do that? Because they knew that Jesus Christ rose from the death to life, and because he said, you will follow me, you will come to where I am, you will go to be where I am. This is what the word of God tells us, and this is our hope. Our hope is not in this world. Our hope is in the next one. This world is momentary. The next one's eternal. Not only are you going to get a body for eternity, you're going to have a place to live in for eternity. No rent, no bills. You're going to have a place that's already prepared for you. At the perfect temperature. And you're going to have a perfect body there too. You know something? I thank God for Jesus. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he died, because he rose again, he gives me ability to put my faith and trust that one day, when I breathe my last, I can rise again too. Again, when Paul talks about this to the Corinthian church, he is dealing with problems. People who don't believe that they will rise again. Brothers, I will be doing a... And sisters, I will be doing a misjustice here to tell you that, yeah, it'll all be all right, and it'll be, I don't know, you all float away into space. And that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says when we breathe our last, we will go to be with the Lord. And on that day that we will receive a body, the dead in Christ will rise first, and we will receive a heavenly body just as Jesus did. The reason why we ain't there yet is because we have a work to do. And the last verse and the last part of this, he says this, that your labour is not in vain in the Lord. That we're working in the Lord until that day comes. We're working, we're labouring. Anything that you've ever done for the Lord comes with a reward. Anything that you do for your own self, that you do something that you want people to look at you, and that's full of pride and you're not doing that for the Lord, there's no reward for that. But everything that you do for the Lord is not in vain. Whatever service that you do for the Lord, you work until that day the Lord takes you home. That's what it says. We labour until that day. So whatever title or job description that you've got in serving the Lord, whether it's a brother or sister that encourages somebody, whether it's somebody that is there for somebody in times of trouble or stress, whether it is financial that you can help, whether it is spiritual that you can lift up, whatever job that is not in vain. And because we have a hope that God is coming or we're going to be with the Lord, we work until He appears. We serve Him until He appears, knowing this is what Paul said, that your labour is not in vain. There are plenty of things that I have done. Have you ever worked? I know a few of these. Have you worked for somebody and never got paid for it? The labour was in vain. You would be better off not seeing that job. This is not that. Our labour is not in vain. We are going to receive the reward that God intends for all of us. One day, we go on to be with the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus. Heavenly Father, we pray, my Lord, this night. And I've been thanking you, my Lord, that you showed the way. My Lord God, that you rose from death to life, my Lord God, and you showed the way, my Lord, for all of us. Lord, my friend.